on, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I'm your host, Sean Kane, and we are looking at a Friday slate coming up here. I'm recording late Thursday, and unfortunately, I don't have Josh Fern here with me, which is deeply sad. And unfortunately, Fern and I may have to roll out one more MLB podcast before the end of season. Next week, I'm mostly committing to just switching over to football, so this may be the last MLB pod of the year. But maybe Fern and I will, find each other somewhere next week and throw one more out there for funsies as we ramp up for football season. But I got to get this taken care of early on the early side. Got something to go to tonight, fundraiser. Be fun little thing. Get out of the house, see some folks, raise some money for a good cause, Big Brothers Big Sisters. So definitely going to be a good time, but I got to get this pod ready for you guys. One thing to be aware of: Lineup Logic patrons, loyalty pools coming out tomorrow. They're going to be links on the cheat sheet. Don't worry. That's where you're going to find your entry leaks. Patrons, go there. You're going to find the links to the entry for the loyalty pools there. As per usual, we'll be paying them out. Shout out to Matt and Danny Hedge and James, top three in the listener pool. And thank you for the reviews, guys. The reviews are coming in. Of course, you guys rule. It means I read every one of them. I read them all, and they really mean a lot to me. It's awesome. It's awesome. I feel like Lineup Logic is a place like the DFS Cheers. Everybody knows your name, right? I'll buy you a beer. Good night, bad night. Doesn't matter, it's cheers. Everybody knows your name. That's the beauty of this thing, man. It's wonderful to be a part of the cheers of DFS. Now, if we could just find a way to get in the same room and drink beer and watch baseball together, then I think we would be taking the next step. We would also probably end up all being divorced or single. Or more single than we already are. I don't know if that would necessarily fly. But, it means a lot. So patrons, keep an eye out for that. Loyalty pool link in the cheat sheet tomorrow. You guys know how that works. Cash prizes for the top five. I pay you guys because I love the community. And it just means a lot to me that people continue to stay committed and listen to the show. And, it's fun to compete too. And, everything that we try to do here goes back to the listeners. And this is just one special way of thanking you guys for your patronage. So, we got 15 games on a Friday slate, as we always do. Some really good ones, too. Some nice spread out, some good pitching options, some bad pitchers to attack, some really good stuff. You got to like some of the stuff that we're seeing here as we attack this slate. Now, I don't have Vegas data, unfortunately, but I do have pitchers. I got pitchers, so I'm going to talk through the matchups here, and we should be able to determine exactly who's favored in these situations. But certainly seems like, we'll have to be driving blind a little bit as far as team totals and stuff like that. But, you get a pretty good sense of where things lie, even just based on pitching at this point. Pitching, ballparks, offenses, things of that nature. So let's go ahead and preview what's upcoming on Friday. First game of the night, Cubs going to Philadelphia. Jose Quintana versus Jared Eichhoff. Cubs are certainly going to be favored in this one. Quintana pitching well, not perfectly, but pitching well. Eichhoff is going to struggle with the Cubs in this small ballpark. They're hitting the ball well. They're connecting. They've shown a lot of power against righties. So Cubs should be favored here in this one. Definitely like them against Eichhoff. Mets Nationals, DeGrom versus, it was supposed to be Scherzer, but just yesterday, news came out that Scherzer has been scratched, so the Nats have not announced a starter. You know, it's not like the Mets are very interesting now anyway. Michael Conforto dislocates his shoulder in this game, this afternoon game against Arizona. That pretty much you're streaming pitchers against the Mets. DeGrom against the Nationals, very interesting. There's a history there that I really like. So I'm going to think you're going to see a pretty low total in this one. Mariners-Yankees, Ariel Miranda and CC Sabathia, two lefties on the hill here. I mean, Ariel Miranda's home run problem is even bad in Safeco Field. What the hell is going to happen in a summer night in Yankee Stadium? He's going to be in trouble here. The Yankees should be able to roll in this one, and I definitely like the Yankees in that matchup. Twins-Blue Jays, Bartolo Claus versus J.A. Happ. You know, the Jays are hard to read, and they're not a team that I'm stacking very often, but you may want to attack Bartolo in this one. The Twins have been excellent. J.A. Happ's numbers, kind of nothing to sneeze at. He's not really a pitcher that you want to attack, but he's not good. He kind of plays that middle distance of not going to get blown up, not going to give up too many runs, not too many home runs, that kind of thing. So that game is not my favorite game in the world, but you know, you got to have exposure to Bartolo Claus. Orioles Red Sox, Jeremy Hellickson versus Rick Porcello. This is an interesting game in Fenway. Two teams that are really red hot right now. Orioles playing extremely well. This would be a great opportunity for them to make up some ground in the wild card race, which, you know, they are definitely trending in the right direction versus the Rays. But that AL wild card is just like, it is just hot and heavy, man. It just changes like every single day. The Twins, the Royals, the Angels, and then the Orioles kind of lingering back there. The Mariners kind of lingering back. So the Rays are out of it, by the way. Just with those teams, I mean, it's just too hard. Yankees, by the way, are the second wildcard team. Like, what are you going to do with that? There's so much competition. It's going to be a race to the finish. Got to think, though, the Red Sox will probably be favored in this one at home against Hellickson. But it should be tight. I think this one will be tight. I think that the Orioles are a dangerous matchup for Porcello. We'll talk about that. Royals Indians, Jason Vargas versus Ryan Merritt. Ryan Merritt getting a start in the rotation for the Indians here. You know, he's not good. He's not good. The Royals could certainly get to him. So we are going to have to talk about the Royals as a possible play here. You know, they have the lefty power that you would want against a mediocre pitcher who doesn't have strikeout stuff. Pirates Reds, Ivan Nova versus Robert Stevenson. I love the Reds side of this game, and we're going to talk about it. But Stevenson is not a great pitcher. There's no doubt about that. The man has one of the worst K to walk ratios on the slate. Just too many walks, and against a very disciplined Pirates team, you could probably go to either side of this matchup. How much offensive upside do the Pirates offer on a nightly basis? I just can't see it, except for one-offs or mini-stacks. So I'm very interested in the Reds, is what I'll say. Padres Marlins, Travis Wood versus Adam Conley. Giancarlo Stanton is going to be facing a lefty, so he'll probably hit a home run. 47 homers right now, man. Love that guy. Adam Conley, another pitcher who struggles with his K to walk ratio, but you know, the Padres could make him look like a golden god in this one. I'm not really sure. If anything, I'm going to the Marlins side because Wood has struggled recently. Yeah, that's where I would be. Rockies, Braves, Chad Bettis versus Julio Teheran. If I like the Rockies on the road, I would attack Teheran. I don't love the Rockies on the road. I don't love the Rockies on the road, and I don't love the Braves offense that much, period. But I think you could get exposure. I mean, you could always get exposure to Charlie Blackmon, right? Always Charlie Blackmon against a guy who struggles with lefties in this ballpark. Yes. Definitely Charlie Blackmon is in play. Tigers, White Sox, Justin Verlander versus Miguel Gonzalez. Verlander is going to be favored here, no doubt about it. He's just been excellent. He's been absolutely filthy in the month of August, and we'll talk about why it is that he needs to be on your pitcher list. Rays Cardinals, Jake Odorizzi versus Michael Wacha. Good luck setting the line in this game. Cards are going to be favored because the Rays just can't hit anything. You know, couldn't even hit today against, what's his name? Yeah. Tom Kohler. Tom Kohler looking like he's bringing his career back to life against the Rays. Unbelievable. And then Giants Diamondbacks, Ty Block versus Zach Greinke. I like Greinke. I like the Diamondbacks stack. I think it's going to work out really nicely for us here in the desert. It's good to get the Diamondbacks back home, right? Get them some runs scored, please. Rangers A's, A.J. Griffin versus Kendall Graveman. A.J. Griffin is the right-handed version of Ariel Miranda. Too many fucking fly balls. He's not going to do well against one of the teams, the Athletics lead the league in fly ball rate. They have from the beginning. That's their thing. You get fly balls in their ballpark where they love, they are hit well at home. I think you have to like, the Athletics here, especially at lower ownership. Astros, Angels, pitchers have not been named in this one, but according to the rotation, it's going to be Colin McHugh and Parker Bridwell. We'll see if that holds. In which case, you know, I think you gotta like the Astros side of this one. But we'll wait to see. I think you guys, you know, here's the bottom line. If it is Bridwell, it's Bregman and Altuve. You gotta love the lefties there. You gotta love the lefties, or excuse me, the righties at the top of the order against Bridwell. So I believe, isn't Bridwell a lefty? Wait, or am I mistaking him for? I think I'm thinking Tyler Skaggs. Skaggs is the lefty, right? Okay, sorry. Skaggs is the lefty with the curveball. Bridwell is the righty with the curveball. Bridwell, though, struggling with both struggling with the lefties. Okay, struggling with the lefties, decent against righties. So if he is named the starter here, you could certainly look at the Astros. But in that big ballpark and the way they've been playing lately, I don't know. Brewers, Dodgers, Chase Anderson versus Kenta Maeda. The Dodgers go back home after this road trip that they have been on. Kenta Maeda will be in a good spot, and I certainly like him in this one against Chase Anderson. He should be set up for success. But that's it. There's some really nice pitching options. I'm not going to lie. There's some really good stuff here on this slate. And then there's some bats. I think there's a couple sleepy spots that people are just going to kind of overlook on a 15-game slate. You know, there's always a team that scores 10 runs that you just didn't quite expect. So let's jump over to the player breakdown, and we will figure out who we love and how we're going to build our player pool. Who do you love? All right, so starting with the arms, I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, you have DeGrom, you have Greinke up here at the top. They are, you know, definitely two of the highest talent pitchers on the slate, and I think you have to like them in this spot, okay? And specifically, I'm going to start with Greinke because I really like Greinke here. Greinke at home is just an insane, it makes no sense, but it's filthy. He's unbelievable in Chase Field. He's so good. To be the best version of yourself in one of the worst pitchers' parks in baseball is just kind of unreal. 32% strikeout rate. That's almost a 10% bump from his road split. 250 wOBA. That's a 65-point drop from his road split. Less than 2 walks per 9. His xFIP goes below 3 in Chase Field. He's unbelievable. His splits to righties and lefties, on the road, they're a little bit more convoluted. At home, they're dead even. 31% strikeout rate, 31-plus, basically, to right-handers and left-handers. And yes, you would expect the batted ball data to represent Chase Field, and it does. More fly balls and hard contact, but we know the Giants just aren't an above-average hard contact team. They have limited power. In the last 30 days, they have been better as far as just wOBA goes. They're getting more contact. They're getting on base more often. I think that they just kind of have, you know, given the team over to the young guys and say, swing away. right? All the injuries and everything that they're facing, their season has been over for a long time. But they're a pretty average offense, you know, all things considered. 20% K rate over the last 30 days, which is elevated for them against righties. Average WOBA around, 318, 320, something like that. And then no power. There's still the ISO number is well below, like, I think it's in the 160s, if I'm remembering correctly. So well below average in the power department. You know, obviously, Chase Field is going to help that power number, and San Francisco doesn't. But you have to trust that Granke's talent is going to win out here. He's going to be able to control this game. He's controlled much more challenging opponents than the San Francisco Giants at home. You also love the fact that he has a very winnable matchup against Ty Block. So you have to feel comfortable with a reasonable number of strikeouts, but a very, very, very safe floor against a team that simply doesn't have a lot of risk factors in it. And, you know, let's say we're facing 27 batters over the course of seven innings. Okay. Let's say 27 batters over the course of seven innings with a 32% strikeout rate. You know, maybe you don't get all nine of those Ks, you know, at 32%. Maybe you only get seven or eight, but I will take seven innings pitched, seven Ks, win quality start. We've seen that stat line. We know it adds up to really good stuff. 46 fantasy points is excellent, you know, and any other extra Ks on top of that are great, you know, and that's what you kind of hope for, is that maybe you sneak out a couple extra strikeouts in this spot. Yeah, so Granke just has one of the clearest floors in on the slate, and I really like that. It feels like a safe bet to get you above 40 points. So a good investment, Granke at home, always a good investment. DeGrom versus the Nationals is very interesting to me. Okay, do I like that it's a divisional game and they know him? It's not my favorite. Do I like that he is on the road? No, not my favorite. He's not better on the road. He's much better at home, a lot like Granke. But I think I'm going to give the edge to DeGrom in this situation over the Nationals without Harper. Okay, and it's not just the Bryce Harper effect, but I have to like the fact that in the last 30 days, the Nationals have a 289 WOBA to right-handers with a 73 WRC+. Okay. An elevated 23% strikeout rate, pretty low walk rate as well. You know, they're not the same offense that they were when they were, you know, scoring 10, 12 runs and throwing home runs all over the place. Now, they do play better at home. There's no doubt about it. The Nationals, when they have those big runs, those nights when they throw a lot of runs up on the board, it's in D.C. That's when they do it. But DeGrom has to be in play here. He has been good against this team. You know, his strikeout rate is obvious, you know, obviously one of the best on the slate, you know, about 30%. On the road, it does drop, you know, and that's, of course, what we know about him. Or excuse me, it's not about 30%, it's 28%. On the road, I believe his strikeout rate drops to about 26%. You know, you don't love that, but he has pitched extremely well of late. You know, the XFIP is down, the WOBA is down to both sides of the plate, the hard contact still there, but not incredible, and the fly ball rate is down, right? The ground balls are up, the fly balls are down, so he is certainly managing the contact, you know, in a way that it really does make you feel good. And the batted ball data, frankly, translates even away. Okay, like away against lefties, that's certainly where he struggles the most with hard contact. But for the most part, the fly ball rate doesn't change at all. So yeah, in a way, okay, so this is good. Away, his strikeout rate only drops 2%. I thought it was a little bit more drastic, but it's not as drastic as Granke's split there. So that's great to see. And here's something else that I like. He has faced the Nationals three times this year. He's done a total of 20 innings pitched, okay? Twice in Citi Field, once in Washington. 20 innings pitched total through three starts and 28 Ks. He's averaging six innings pitched plus, six plus, plus almost nine Ks per start. Now, one of those, he had 12 Ks, right? He really boosted the number. But one of those, he also went eight innings. He dominated through eight innings, okay? So I think that there's a really good, you know, if you take the mean here, you're saying six innings pitched, quality start, nine strikeouts. That's a pretty clear floor for DeGrom. Now, will he get the run support that Greinke gets? Probably not. No Conforto. You know, I mean, maybe if it's a real shit pitcher, and we haven't seen who the Nationals are going to pitch yet. If it's somebody bad, you know, Joe Blanton out of the bullpen. Somebody real bad, then maybe, you know, you get access to that bullpen, which, you know, even with some of the reinforcements that they brought in to close games, their middle relief is not great. So we'll see who they pitch. But you got to like DeGrom. You got to like DeGrom here. I think he may go overlooked just because, you know, matchup wise, people will say, oh, I don't know. The Nationals are good. Yeah, they are. They're fine. They're not elite right now, though. They are struggling. So I think we'll have a better sense of how this team is playing after tonight against Keuchel. Like, if tonight against Keuchel, they go out and Keuchel, you know, gives up one run and gets the four strikeouts through seven innings like he kind of always does, then I think you're saying to yourself, okay, dominant pitchers are going to have a good shot to perform well against this guy. And DeGrom is exactly that. Now, another guy who has massive strikeout upside is Kenta Maeda. Maeda is basically a matchup play because, good gracious, the Brewers swing at everything. Top 10 in chase rate, top 10 in swinging strike rate. They almost have a 26% strikeout rate right now against right-handers. You know, Maeda was hard to read earlier in the year, but his second half numbers are way better. 25% strikeout rate, 21 K to walk ratio, just because he has an elite level of control, not walking anyone. XFIP of 3.5. His splits are identical to lefties and righties, which you like because he's going to see a good mix in this lineup of power from both sides of the plate. But he doesn't really allow fly balls to either side. And the hard hit rate is down at 27% for both sides. So, yes, he's going to give up a home run. He's probably going to give up a few runs. He does that. He allows base runners just via, you know, ground balls or whatever the case may be, via contact. But the nice thing is at home, fewer home runs, fewer walks, fewer base runners, fewer runs in general. So Maeda at home in a good spot against the Brewers. And you have to think that he probably has a similar range of outcomes if he can limit the damage and stay in through the sixth, which is always the issue with a Dodgers pitcher. Like, are they going to go deep in a game? Because they have no, you know, nobody has a problem with yanking a Dodgers pitcher after five innings. You know, we do as DFS players, but the coaching staff certainly does not. So that's the tightrope you walk with pitching one of the Dodgers. They just aren't going to let him work too deep if they're taking high pitch counts, right? But the good thing is the Brewers won't do that. They'll swing. I think you have to love Justin Verlander versus the White Sox. I mean, it just feels like Verlander is his old self again. He has filthy numbers in the second half this year. 29% strikeout rate in the second half of the year, 22% K to walk ratio, 3.75 XFIP. I mean, his numbers align right with DeGrom's. If you're looking at the second half stats, right there with DeGrom's, right there with, not quite with Greinke, but right there with DeGrom in this situation. So six of his last seven starts since the All-Star break were quality starts. The Tigers have been really supporting him of late. He's gotten like four wins in his last five. I like their chances here against Miguel Gonzalez. Now, Miguel Gonzalez has been trolling people lately, you know, limiting the contact kind of thing. But, you know, Verlander has a history of dominating the White Sox. And there's, you know, it's not like there's anyone on this team who may have even seen him at this point. Just Abreu, basically. And they hit righties. Like, the thing about the White Sox is there is right-handed power here. You know, I can't predict the future against Berrios tonight, but I said on the cheat sheet, basically, like, any of you guys listening to this as the Berrios game is going on or after Berrios has pitched, you'll probably be like, oh, yeah, they fucked up Berrios, man. Like, they got to him. Or Berrios dominated. Berrios dominated. So it's either one. It's either or. Berrios is going to dominate or he's going to get dominated because they're a home run team. You know, Nicky Delmonico has an ISO above 200. Abreu, we know, has a ISO above 200. Leroy Garcia does as well. Avisel Garcia sitting out today, but likely going to be in the lineup tomorrow. He's kind of on an on-off schedule just to kind of ease him in. I just don't think there's any reason not to trust Verlander with the way he's cooking these days. He has dominated good teams. He did it to the Astros. He did it to the Dodgers. He's done it to a lot of real serious competition. And the White Sox don't classify as real serious competition. This is a good spot for him. That I think is like that. I think that's it. That's where my pitcher pool stops. Those four. I just don't think when you have four high quality options with ranges of outcomes like that, and you have enough bats that you can find variety and pricing is flexible, there's just no reason in my mind to do anything different than those top four options. So all of those work for me. I like all of those. As far as the sticks go, I mean, I mentioned this earlier at the top of the show, but geez, the Yankees are in a good spot against Ariel Miranda. This guy has, you know, fly ball rates over 40%. He's always had a negative ground ball to fly ball ratio. In Safeco, people smack home runs off of him. He's going to Yankee Stadium, best ballpark in America for home runs. Well, not the best, Great American is, but it's top five for homers. The Yankees woke up. Their bats are back. They're feeling it. They're going home to the Bronx for a nice weekend, winnable weekend series against another AL wildcard foe. You got to like them here. You got to attack the right-handers in this spot. Judge and Sanchez are obviously elite plays, and their pricing still, you know, the pricing on Judge is still flexible enough to the point that I think people will really want to play him, even if he's gonna be above 4K, creeping at 4-5. But, you know, Gary is one of the chalkiest catchers every night because people love the home run upside. They'll pay for it. But I think if you want to get the full stack going, there's a couple other names that I want you to look for here. Tyler Austin, if he's in the lineup, I think he's a great value play. Aaron Hicks hits righties extremely well. And lefties. Todd Frazier hits lefties extremely well, too. He's in a great spot. High fly ball rate for him. You know, and you're looking, when you have a fly ball pitcher, you want to attack fly ballers. Guys who get the ball up against guys who allow them to get the ball up, you're just going to increase your probability of one leaving the park and sneaking out there. So Todd Frazier is one of my favorite third basemen, you know, for a relatively reasonable price, you know, and allows you maybe to get one of the price guys. It's going to be hard to fit in Judge and Sanchez. I don't think you have to force both of them, but I think you take the value plays against a lefty. You wait for the lineup. You see what's going on with their, you know, their platoon guys against lefties. You take some of the value plays and you figure out how to build around that. Arizona is in a great position too, and hopefully people are falling asleep on the Diamondbacks because they just have kind of been underwhelming, you know, to say the least. Ty Black allows way too much contact, and you know, he just allows so many base runners so consistently. JD Martinez and Paul Goldschmidt both have over 50% hard contact rate to lefties this year. Are you kidding me? Give me a break. Like, those guys should be auto locks. Like, if you're debating Gary and Judge, I don't know. I may go JD and Goldie over them. They're probably pricier, but I love JD and Goldie in the desert. Ty Block, not a good pitcher. This is going to be a stack situation. You always want to stack against these types of guys because when you allow that many base runners, you're going to accrue more RBI opportunities and stuff like that. So you want to stack against guys that are going to allow this many base runners. Adam Rosales, I think, is a name that I'm going to keep my eye on. He's been platooning in there against lefties. He was in the 8-hole, remember, in that game against, who was it, the lefty from New York that we stacked against, the bad one. Oh, Tommy Malone. Hey, Tommy Malone. Tommy Malone sounds like a guy I went to college with. I could probably just drop his name and be like, you guys remember Tommy Malone? Tommy Malone. He lived down the hall. Lived with Danny and who's that other kid? You know, that kid, Tim. Yeah, Tim. Tim and Danny and Tommy Malone. You don't remember him? Oh. That wouldn't be a very exciting conversation, but I bet I could bullshit about three quarters of the guys I went to college with into believing that Tommy Malone was one of their roommates. Anyway, so aside from Tommy Malone, the guy I went to college with, who basically that's about how good he was at pitching that night. Adam Rosales, man, he's platooning. If he is snuck up in the order, he was in that Iannetta spot the other night. Like that two hole a couple times, you gotta play Adam Rosales and Chris Iannetta here. The thing is like, think about it. You have a $2,400 catcher, a $2,100 or $2,200 second baseman, and then you have a $4,000 first baseman, a $4,000 outfielder. You balance that out, and you're basically playing $3,000 for each position, and you have four of the best lefty hitters on that roster. I love it. I'm not touching AJ Pollock. He's just struggling right now. And his hard contact rate is way down. You know, I think for me, it's Rosales and Iannetta with JD and Goldie. And that's a nice balanced approach to the Arizona stack. That's going to get me, you know, spread out production. My hope is that, you know, you get the Goldie in the two. Well, you're probably going to get Pollock in the two, right? You get Goldie at the, what are they, usually put Goldie at the 3 or the 4. Maybe you get a 3-5-6-7 or a 3, you know, maybe Rosales at the 2. So you get a 2-3-5-6 with Iannetta in the 6 hole, something like that. 2-3-5-6 would be ideal. We'll see, though. The Arizona lineups are like fucking hieroglyphs. They're the most impossibly difficult things to read in the world. They're never the same. So that's where we're at with Arizona. I think that they are great, but I would be foolish. I would be foolish if I did not mention the Chicago Cubs against Jared Eichhoff. Negative ground ball to fly ball ratios to left-handers in the smallest ballpark, one of the better ballparks for hitting home runs. We've seen the Cubs and the damage that they can do in home run friendly ballparks. Citizens Bank is certainly that. 33% hard contact to lefties. He has been better in the second half, no doubt about it. He's not quite the gas can that he was earlier in the year. But listen, against good teams, he is going to give up runs. He's probably, his baseline line is like 5 innings, 4 earned in a dinger. That's a pretty damn good starting spot for your stack. As long as you make sure you get the dinger, whoever was on base, and a couple hits and walks, I'll take it. You know, and this was in his last 4 starts, that baseline, like I kind of carved that out of his last 4 starts, who are against, listen to these teams: Atlanta, San Diego, San Francisco, LA. Now LA has been trending in the right direction, but those other teams are pretty terrible as far as power goes. Now enter the Cubs. They have much higher ISO mark than all of those teams, above 200 in the last 30 days. You know, I mean, give me a break. Give me a break. Those 4 teams racked up 25 hits, 11 runs against him in his starts. I gotta love the Cubs to get their share of this. You know, multiple hits, 1 homer, maybe 2 in this ballpark, and then you get the Phillies bullpen. I'm into it. I think you go straight at the lefty power. Schwarber, Avila, Rizzo. And, you know, John Jay or Jason Hayward, let's talk about this. John Jay has the advantage because he's the top of the order. He's going to see more plate appearances. You get him on base. He's a damn good base runner. He has runs scored upside. But Hayward is quietly on a little bit of a streak here. He's had over 10 fantasy points in each one of these games against Cincinnati. He hits the ball. He does that Dexter Fowler thing. And maybe I'm just, you know, remembering the good old days when those two were in the outfield together. But, you know, he kind of does this, like, don't strike out, get on base, hit a double type, you know, Ben Zobrist move. And nobody plays him. And he's cheap. Yeah, he's usually in the 6 or the 7. But, like, when you're stacking a whole team, I don't mind going down to one batter that is way lower owned than the leadoff batter. If you know John Jay is going to be owned at 30% tomorrow night or I don't know, whatever, you know, monstrous number he's probably going to be owned at because he's a cheap leadoff bat and a really good offense. Obviously, he's going to be highly owned. And you can say, okay, John Jay, that's fine. You go out and you get your John Jay 9 points, 9.2 points, right? Two walks and a run. And Jason Hayward goes out and gets you 12 or 15, then immediately at that lower ownership, you've differentiated yourself and you've beat everybody else who stacked the other same three players, Schwarber, Avila, and Rizzo. You know, you have the advantage right there. So I'm into it. Of course, Chris Bryant back in the lineup. You got to love Chris Bryant, righty, you know, of course you love Chris Bryant. It's just, it's hard to pay for Bryant and Rizzo. It is. It's hard. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind as you're building a Cubs stack tomorrow night. Okay, some ground options. Some places where, you know, maybe they're going to be a little bit less owned. Maybe they won't be as popular. I love the Red Sox-Orioles game. Right-handers with hard contact, fly ball issues. Divisional game, hot offenses, good ballpark for hitters. You know, this one, it could really create some scoring. This could be a high-scoring affair. This one could be an 8-8 back-and-forth type deal. You know, we know these teams don't exactly love each other. The Red Sox can't lose. And the Orioles, just one of the best teams in baseball in the last month. They really are. Their offense is just absolutely filthy. The hesitation that I have with the Orioles is that Porcello has been better. I tried to figure out what the hell it was with his pitch data that he was doing differently, and I can't solve it. I don't know what it is necessarily. I don't know if, you know, he's just, you know, not using a certain pitch, or he changed his grip, or he's generating more spin, or he's got his velocity back, or maybe he's feeling more healthy. Something weird is different because he's been good. He's been good in his last couple starts, like very solid. You know, not elite, but solid. So it's hard to understand here, but I would still attack the Orioles side comfortably, and we know where to go with the righty-righty matchup here. You know, Beckham, Scope, Machado, Jones. And I think you could even, if Chris Davis is batting cleanup, which he might against this righty because Porcello does struggle with fly balls to lefties, maybe it's a Chris Davis night. He's not exactly consistent, but could be a Chris Davis night. Adam Jones, don't sleep on him. You know, but Manny Machado, you gotta love Manny Machado revenge game here in this one. He has no, you know, there's no love lost for Manny Machado in Boston. So, this could be a great series to watch all weekend. On the Red Sox side, though, it's a little bit more obvious that this offense should be in a better position. Hellickson just is brutal against lefties. So many fly balls to lefties. The lefty stack, plus maybe some righties in here as well, because the ISO is there for Hellickson. It's over 200 to both sides of the plate. The batted ball data indicates that we want the lefties. So, hey, fine, okay. Devers, Benintendi, Bradley, and maybe Moreland. I love Eduardo Nunez, though, in the leadoff spot. He's consistent. He's going to have upside. Mookie Betts, yeah. In fact, his ISO is higher to righties this year than it is against lefties, but he's just pricey. I don't think he's a must-have. If I'm going to take one of those high-priced outfielders, I'm going to take Benintendi because the fly ball to left-handers, I just think Benintendi has a better chance of sneaking one out than Mookie does. I think that Moreland, this is a situation when you play Moreland, okay? If he's in a decent spot in the order, if you don't have a first baseman in the Red Sox lineup that you have, if you do, then don't force it. You don't have to play Mitch Moreland because he's inconsistent. And at that low in the order, you're not in love with it, okay? But the thing about Moreland is the one thing, this is the time to play him. He's hitting .304 in August, so he's bounced back from that brutal July that he had where he was like literally batting almost 200. He's below the Mendoza line. Batting .304 in August, his best splits are against right-handies. Handies. Sorry. Wildly mature person. Against the right-handies at home, he profiles well. That's where he does his work. You know, if you want Moreland, this is the time to do it. Okay. I'm into it. Now I love the Cincinnati Reds. I love the Cincinnati Reds. I think this is a Cincinnati Reds blow-up spot. And I think it's a blow-up spot that comes at about 10% ownership, maybe less. Maybe less. They haven't been electric during this Cubs series. They're not looking so great. Some of their prices are down. Okay, I love it. And even against, they're probably, you know, the Arrieta is not going to help them. It's going to make them kind of look meh at home. However, enter Ivan Nova, who allows the most contact in the zone. And the Reds have interesting plate discipline. Okay, bottom five in swinging strike rate, bottom five in chase rate. Okay, top 10 in zone contact. So if you're going to hammer the zone against the Reds, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. They could get to him. I love both sides here because he struggles evenly. But the lefties are in an especially good spot. Votto, Schebler, Scooter. And I think Cozart would be the other one that I really like. Specifically Cozart and Schebler for the attacking the curve. Obviously, Joey Votto. I don't have to tell you. Joey Votto against a righty who's going to throw the ball in the zone at home. Come on. Give me a break. Joey Votto is one of the best bats on this slate. No doubt about it in my mind. I love Joey Votto. In fact, if you twisted my arm, I would take Joey Votto over Anthony Rizzo in this spot. And the reason is he's going to be lower owned than Anthony Rizzo, right? He's going to be lower owned than Anthony Rizzo. Nova's a better pitcher, kind of on the whole. But I think that if you take the ownership leverage, the possibility of the Red stack just destroying Nova for through the first five innings, which they can do. This team can generate runs against bad pitchers. I like it. I think they're in a good spot. I think they go overlooked. And you never should overlook Great American Ballpark. It's just, it's the Coors Field of the Midwest. It's my favorite place to play hitters because you don't get that pricing bump that you get. You know, that in Citizens Bank, right? You don't get the pricing bump that you get for Coors, but it's still so easy to hit the ball out of these places because they're so small. They're so small. So, you know, a good fly ball in these parks just leaves. Just leaves. By the way, killer outfield home run snag by a Phillies fan this afternoon. Caught a Tommy Joseph home run. Kid ran down the aisle. Snagged one over his head. A 10-year-old kid. It was awesome. Awesome. I was very proud. I love watching like those highlights, fan catches, and Little League World Series highlights. I can't actually watch a Little League World Series game, but I will watch all the highlights. All right. One more stack that I want to mention, and then I'm going to kind of go through a couple other spots to monitor. Once the Vegas data comes out, I'll let you guys decide if you want to target this. But this one stood out to me. When I get to stack the A's at home, I always get giddy because the prices allow you to stack almost any other team with them, and they always go overlooked. Okay, the A's stack is great. Because you get the West Coast bias. You have people who aren't waiting for the lineup. They don't play the A's. There's the whole ballpark narrative. It's not a good ballpark. But at home, these guys are phenomenal. Okay, the A's have great home numbers. This AJ Griffin character allows the most fly balls, like 55% to both sides of the plate. This is the highest, this team has the highest fly ball rate in baseball. I said it. You're not going to get away with it against this team. Ariel Miranda gave up 3 home runs to these guys, and he is a way better pitcher than AJ Griffin. All right. So you got to love the full four, man. I think based on what I'm seeing from the lineup, it's for me, it's 2 through 6. Boog Powell, he's Boog Powell. And the Mariners got rid of him for a reason. They can only have so many guys who can't hit the baseball in their outfield, okay? He may be a leadoff. He's super cheap. He's not my favorite. I would much rather have 2 through 6, which would be Semien, Joyce, Big Chris Davis, Ryan Healy, and Matt Olson. Okay, that's actually 5. So those are the 4 that are primaries in play for me. Bruce Maxwell probably in play as well as a catcher option, although he was dealing with an injury at some point, so I'm not sure if you're going to see him in the lineup. But I love the A's stack as a core play to build, you know, the rest of what you do around. And this Marcus Semien solves so many problems for you because he's middle infielder, you know, and that's just so nice. And don't forget Jed Lowrie. It's the same, right? You get a second baseman and a shortstop who have very, very clear floors and great prices in the top of an order, and they come low owned. And, you know, that's just exactly what you want for your lineup to build around. And, you know, it's just, it's great. So I think I'm definitely going to have some A stacks, whether it's the three or the four man, I'm not sure, because Healy and Olsen, you got to get your third and your first base in there. Do I want a full A's in middle infield? Not so much. And I do want Chris Davis. Chris Davis has massive home run upside against righty-righty matchup, a guy who gives up fly balls at home, and he always goes overlooked. Not always, but he should go overlooked in this situation. So I love Chris Davis. All right, now, unfortunately, I'm working in a vacuum here, okay? I'm working in a vacuum. I'm not going to be able to give you guys a lineup, all right? But if I were building a lineup, I think what I would do is I would start with that that A stack, okay? I would start with a four-man A stack, and I would go with Joyce and Semien at second and short, Chris Davis and Matt Joyce in the outfield. Or excuse me, what did I say? I said Matt Joyce twice. I mean Jed Lowry. Jed Lowry at second, Semien at short, Chris Davis in the outfield, Matt Joyce in the outfield. That leaves me one outfield spot, and that one outfield spot is going to be JD fucking Martinez. All right? Give me JD Martinez, no doubter. Put him in there. Put it on the board. JD Martinez in the outfield, first base, Paul Goldschmidt. All right? And then I need a third baseman. I'm not playing Jake Lamb against a lefty. He's just not been that great. But guess who I am playing? Rafael Devers. Rafael Devers right in there is a one-off third baseman. I love that. So, first, Goldie. Second, Joyce. Or not Joyce. God, I keep saying that. Jed Lowry. Third, Devers. Short, Semien. Outfield, Chris Davis, JD Martinez, Matt Joyce. Catcher, Chris Iannetta. No doubt. Chris Iannetta, no doubt. Three-man. Four-man. Four-man Oakland, three-man Arizona, Rafael Devers one-off. And my guess is that I could fit Kenta Maeda with that based on pricing. My pricing projections, my fantasy degenerate brain tells me that Kenta Maeda would fit with that. I don't think that Zach Greinke would fit with that, but I do think Kenta Maeda would. And that's kind of where I would go with that. So I think that that's a sweet place to start. You know, there's a lot of really good spots to go to tonight, guys. There really are. The Red Sox stack appeals to me. The Red stack, I'm going to just give me all the Reds. Like, I love it. I'm going to die with that ship, no doubt about it. I'm going to go down with that one. And I'm good with going down with that one. Why wouldn't I be? You know? Why wouldn't I be? The Reds ship captained by Joey Votto and first mate Scooter Gennett. We all know Cincinnati is on a river. They're river pirates, guys. The river pirates. The Cincinnati River Pirates. All right. I think I've jumped the shark in this episode. Listener, patrons, loyalty pool links in the cheat sheet. Get in there. It's been a great August. Fern and I are going to bring you one more episode next week. The Fern and Sean spectacular. But we are going to get ready for football. Baseball has been beautiful. It has been wonderful. It has been so, so wonderfully gratifying. I love you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for making me a part of your day. Even if I am not a part of your day, I'm only a part of your day some days of the week. Whenever you choose to include my obnoxious voice in your life, for this I am grateful. Okay? All right. Good luck in your contest, guys, and I will see you mañana.